السلام عليك زين الأنبياء، السلام عليك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، أفضل الصلاة وتم تسليم على سيدنا ومولانا محمدا وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. So I apologize for the short break and not having classes. Yesterday was the celebration and commemoration of the Battle of Badr, and the day before it was our annual benefit event. And so inshallah we will get back to work and continue where we left off, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And so to again situate ourselves, all of these lectures have really been, the purpose behind them is to strengthen our relationship with the Qur'an. And in particular through this book number 8 of the Ihya Ulumuddin, the book on the proprieties of Quranic recitation, to learn exactly how it is that we should have adab with Allah Ta'ala's book, inwardly and outwardly. What should we be doing outwardly? What should we be doing inwardly? And we are currently under the chapter where we are learning about the inner acts, the various etiquettes that we need to have at the level of the heart. And we started discussing the fifth inner act, which Imam Ghazali calls At-Tafahum, and can be translated as striving to understand. So we spoke a little bit about realizing the greatness of divine speech and what follows it from exalting the one speaking, and then what comes after that, which is maintaining presence of heart, and then number 4, contemplating upon the meanings of the Quran. And then we reach number 5, which is striving to understand. Striving to understand every verse and to understand what that verse points to. What are the meanings of that verse? And so what Imam Ghazali says about this is in yastawdih, is that we try to understand and clarify from every verse ma yaliqu biha, what is suitable to it, what is befitting of it. And he then presents many of the overarching themes of the Quran, which we discussed last time. And after presenting that, he goes into a little bit of detail about each one. So he began with the sifat, with the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the important things that he said about this is that there are deep secrets in understanding the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that come in His book, and reflecting upon why those attributes relate to what preceded it. And he says, in this is a very deep knowledge that is gifted to the people of certainty. And this is something that you and I should strive to attain, strive to understand. And we can begin by learning the 99 names of Allah and learn their meanings. And once we learn their meanings, then we can reflect deeply on how that meaning, for instance, of a particular name of Allah Ta'ala that comes, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ, and how it relates to the verses or the what Allah Ta'ala mentions before it. Now, and we left off quoting Ibn Abdullah ibn Mas'ud as saying, "Man arada ilm al-awwalin wal-akhirin," whoever wants the knowledge of the ancients and for all of those who will come, "falyuthawwil al-Qur'an," let him search for it in the Quran, let him contemplate the Quran, read the Quran, study the Quran, learn the meanings of the Quran. "Falyuthawwil al-Qur'an," that expression contains all of those different meanings, meaning he will find it in Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's book. وَأَعْظَمُ عُلُومُ الْقُرْآنِ تَحْتَ أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلْ وَصِفَاتِهِ, the greatest of the pearls of gems of wisdom in the Quran are found beneath the names of Allah and His attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what he says about the sifat of Allah. And then he's going to speak about the af'al of Allah. Af'al is the plural of fi'l, and you would translate this as the acts of Allah. And so ultimately, everything in creation is an act of Allah. Everything in creation. And so you could say, and they actually mention this in the books, is that the only thing that exists is Allah and His acts. The only thing that exists is Allah and His acts. And even when we speak about the divisions that the later scholars laid down for the science of theology, i.e. that which pertains to Allah, that which pertains to prophecy, and that which pertains to the Day of Judgment and eschatology, that breakdown, in particular the last two, i.e. the sinning of prophets and everything that will happen in the afterlife, those are the two greatest acts of Allah. And so in reality, when you read Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and you learn that He exists and you learn about His attributes, then everything else that you are also learning about in the Quran, and this is, we'll see examples that Imam Ghazali mentions here, are acts of Allah. Allah creating certain things in creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so everything in existence ultimately is an act of Allah. And we should learn that that particular act points to names and attributes of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what He wants us to do here, is to have tafahum, to strive to understand what those verses are pointing to, in particular in relation to the acts of Allah. So He says here, for instance, the creation of the heavens and the earth. This is a great act of Allah. The heavens and the earth, Allah brought this into existence. From non-existence into existence. La ilaha illallah. Allah brought this into existence. Wa ghayriha, and other things like what? Like mountains. Just think about the majesty of mountains. The Bihar. All of the different oceans and seas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. When you look out on the ocean and you're at the seashore and you just see water, or you're in the middle of the ocean just surrounded by water and you don't see any land, the vastness that is there, it indicates internally, and every person of fitra realizes this, that it must have had a maker. It puts you in a state of awe at this natural beauty that points to the beauty of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so He says, فَلْيَفْهَمَ التَّالِي مِنْهَا سِفَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَجَلَالَهُ. So let the one reciting the Quran understand from verses that pertain to, like, creation of the heavens and the earth, the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal and His majesty and His greatness and the kamal qudrati and the perfect nature of His power. إِذِ الْفِعْلُ يُدُلُّ عَلَى الْفَعَلِ, because the act indicates the doer of the act. It points to it. فَتَضُلُّ عَظَمَتُهُ عَلَى عَظَمَتِي, so the greatness of the act indicates the greatness of the one who did the act. فَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَشْهَدَ فِي الْفِعْلِ الْفَاعِلِ دُونَ الْفِعْلِ. So what is befitting of a believer, whenever they witness anything happening, any act, is that they witness the fa'al, the doer of the act, as opposed to being restricted to the act itself. فَمَنْ عَرَفَ الْحَقِّ رَآهُ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And so whoever knows the truth here, with a capital T, Allah جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ, He will see Him in everything. And what is meant here is not that we see Allah in creation. You don't see Allah in creation. Allah does not exist in His creation. We don't believe in animism or pantheism. We don't believe that a God is a spirit in His creation. We don't believe in that. Allah originated everything and brought it into existence. So when we say that He sees Allah in everything, i.e. He witnesses the divine impact upon creation, He realizes that what? إِذْ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُ, everything originates from Him. This is what it means to see Allah in everything. Everything originates from Him. فَهُوَ مِنْهُ وَإِلَيْهِ, and everything returns to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِهِ وَلَهُ, everything subsists through Him, and everything belongs to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it means to see Allah in everything. We're aware of that. And we can have that with knowledge at first, but the goal as we traverse through life is to tread a path of spiritual purification, where then this is witnessed at the level of the heart. And this is what it means to be an arif billah, to be a knower of Allah, is that the arif billah witnesses everything originating from Him, returning to Him, subsisting through Him, and belonging to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَمَنْ لَا يَرَاهُ فِي كُلِّ مَا يَرَاهُ فَكَأَنَّهُ مَا عَرَفَهُ. And so if anyone who doesn't see Allah in everything that he sees, it is as if that he doesn't know Him. وَمَنْ عَرَفُ عَرَفَ أَنَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَا خَلَى اللَّهَ بَاطِلُ. And whoever knows Him knows that everything other than Allah is false, i.e. their existence is contingent. It's as if it's non-existent. And it only exists because Allah created it, allowed it to exist, and upholds its existence and subsists it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَ. And that everything is perishing except His countenance, subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَأَنُّ سَيَبْطُلْ فِي ثَانِ الْحَالِ. Not that it is going to perish sometime in the future or in some other state. No. هُوَ الْآنْ بَاطِلْ. Right now it is بَاطِلْ. And this word batil is the word that you use for falsehood. And what is really meant here is that it's non-existent, i.e. it doesn't exist in and of itself. It's batil. It can only exist if Allah Ta'ala gives it existence and subsists its existence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنْ اِعْتُبِرَ ذَاتُ مِنْ حَيْثُهُ. If we consider the essence of anything, nothing exists in and of itself. Only Allah has independent existence. He is the wajib al-wujud, the necessarily existent. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, all other existence is contingent. إِلَّا أَنْ يُعْتَبْرَ وُجُودُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ إِنَّهُ مَوْجُودٌ بِاللَّهِ عَزَ وَجَلْ وَبِكُدْرَتِهِ. The only thing that we consider of the existence of any other thing is insofar as it exists because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it into existence and subsists its existence through His power, tabaraka wa ta'ala. فَيَكُونَ لَهُ بِطَرِيكَ تَبِعِ ثَابِتٍ. It only in this consideration is considered to actually be existent. وَبِطَرِيكَ إِسْتِقْلَالِ بُطْرَانِ مَحْتٍ. But if you talk about independent existence, that it is sheer non-existence, sheer falsehood. وَهَذَا مَبْدَأٌ مِنْ مَبَادِئِ مِنْ مُكَاشَفَةٍ. This is one of the mabadi', one of the starting points, principles, first things that someone starts to witness with the science of unveiling. وَلِهَذَا يَنْبَغِي إِذَا قَرَأَ التَّالِي قَوْلُهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So he says that the one reciting, they should, if they're reciting the following verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَفَرَأَيْتُم مَّا تَحْرُثُونَ. Have you not reflected upon or considered what you sow? أَفَرَأَيْتُم الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ. Have you not reflected upon the water that you drink? أَفَرَأَيْتُم النَّارَ الَّتِي تُرُونَ. Have you not reflected upon the fire you have kindled? أَفَرَأَيْتُم مَا تُمْنُونَ. Have you not reflected upon the semen that you emanate? أَلَّا يَقْصُرْ نَظَرُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ وَالنَّارِ وَالْحَثُ وَالْمَنِي. Is that our reflection should not be restricted to the water, the fire, the seeds that we're sowing, or the semen itself. بَلْ يَتَأَمَّلْ. We should reflect deeply what is behind these acts in creation. So we see water, we see fire, we see the sowing of seeds and what grows from it. We see within the human being, we have this fluid that will lead to something. And this is what he's saying, we should reflect deeply upon us. So he said, he mentions the example of many that human beings semen. That if we think about how it is and everything that it leads to in the way that a child is born and everything that child then develops and all of the traits that are developed, and he mentions in great detail, I'm just glossing over it, all of that process that takes place from inception until the child is born and then until the child grows and everything that happens, This is truly amazing. The creation of a human being is amazing. If we really think deeply about it, how human beings originate, and then the process whereby which that they grow in the womb of their mother, and then when they're born, and then they slowly grow and grow through phases of life. How is this all happening? Only a kafir, someone who denies the truth, will not come to the conclusion that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should reflect very deeply upon this. فيتأمل. And then he quotes a verse in the Quran. أَوَرَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّ خَرَقْنَاهُ مِن نُطْفَةٍ. Have they not seen how we created the human being from a drop of fluid, from semen? فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. And then you find him openly argumentative in arguing. La ilaha illallah. And how could that be? That it's as if all of a sudden we've forgotten all of these stages that went before us. We've forgotten how it is that we were born. We've forgotten everything that we were given so that we could grow. And then, فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. He just argues openly. فَيَتَأَمَّلْ هَذِي الْعَجَائِبِ. Let him think deeply about these wonders. لِيَرْقَى مِنْهَا إِلَىٰ أَعْجَبِ الْعَجَائِبِ. So that he can be raised in rank and come to the most wondrous of all wondrous things. وَهُوَ السَّنْعَى. And this is the act of the maker, the act of the sana, the one who made everything that it is as it is. التي من صدرت هذه الأجائب. That all of these amazing things and wondrous things came from. فلا يزال ينظر إلى صنعتي ويرى الصانع. And this person that reflects deeply, when they look at what was created, they looked at what was made, it points to the creator and it points them to the maker. And again, we have to train ourselves to do this. Train ourselves. It's like reading. You don't learn another language overnight. It takes time to learn the letters and practice the letters and to learn them individually and then place them in sentences, and then you learn words and then you learn sentences and so forth and so on. And then eventually you have a number of different skills that you can read very quickly, and you can analyze arguments and develop opinions and all of these other types of things and connect knowledge that you have from before to knowledge that it is that you're acquiring and so forth and so on. And you can become a very complex level 5 reader, where you are very skilled and adept. However, that doesn't happen overnight. You have to begin with the alphabet and learning the alif, ba' and the ta' and your A, B's and your C's, and learn the preliminary knowledge in order to be able to do that. Likewise, when it comes to reflection, we can't just say, oh, this is hard. طيب. Learning language is hard. So because learning language is hard, are you going to not learn a language? Think about learning Arabic, how long it takes. Think about learning any language. To become proficient in Arabic, I'm not going to say fluent, proficient in Arabic. Proficiency defined here as you understand most of what you read in an array of different books. And we'll just focus on classical, traditional Arabic, classical Arabic. You understand most of what you read and almost everything of what you hear from a teacher teaching you. That's like a basic level of proficiency. That takes roughly 2 years to reach that place, to reach that point, where you've put in work on a daily basis, maybe 4 to 5 hours a day over a period of 2 years. Then you'll reach that level of proficiency. And it might take a little bit longer. For some people, it might be a little bit quicker. But there are no shortcuts. And unless Allah Ta'ala gives you an opening, you just learn language like that, it's possible. But generally speaking, it takes people 2 years of full-time study, putting in a lot of work to get the grasp of Arabic language. And I've seen this through experience. And yes, in 1 year, you can have a program that gets you ready to study a second year all in Arabic. But still, you'll need to continue Arabic studies and you'll have to use translation for many of the meanings that you are learning. It takes time. And likewise, this takes time. But we have to learn how to do it and cultivate this within ourselves and spend time reflecting. So this is what he mentions in terms of what you could call one of the overarching themes which pertains to Allah, and he spoke here about his attributes and his acts. And then he shifts to talk about the ahwal of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, and to learn about the circumstances and the states of the prophets, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon them. So he says, فَإِذَا سَمِعَ مِنْهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كَيْفَ كُذِّبُوا وَضُرِبُوا وَقُتِلَ بَعْضُهُمْ. And when we read about how some of them were belied, they weren't believed in, some of them were physically harmed, some of them were even killed. فَلْيَفْهَمْ مِنْهُ صِفَةِ الْإِسْتِغْنَاءِ لِلَّهِ. One of the meanings that we can take from that is the trait of independence, self-subsistence of Allah, Azza wa Jal. أَنَا رَسُولُ وَنْمُرْسَلِ إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah is not in need of the messengers He sends or those who He is sending the messengers to. And were He, وَأَنَّهُ لَوْ أَهْلَكَ جَمِيعَهُمْ, were He to destroy all of them, لَمْ يُؤَثِّرْ فِي مُلْكِ شَيْءٍ, that wouldn't affect His dominion in any way. And that's very humbling for the human being to come to terms with. We, on one hand, are significant because Allah Ta'ala made us significant because He's given us the ability to know Him. But our significance is in our ability to know Him. On the other hand, we're totally insignificant. Totally, completely insignificant. Where Allah Ta'ala just completely destroy every single one of us, it wouldn't affect His dominion anyway, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who are we to think that we deserve to exist? Who are we to think that somehow we are entitled to have what it is that we have? These are very deep-seated diseases of the heart that get us in a lot of trouble as human beings. And so we have to hammer this meaning into our heart, is that Allah is absolutely independent, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is self-subsistent. He does not need us, tabaraka wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا سَمِعَ النُّصْرَةُ فِي آخِرِ الْأُمْرِ فَلْيَفْهَمْ قُدْرَةُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُ وَإِرَادُ لِنُصْرَةِ الْحَقِّ. And then when we read these stories about the prophets and how Allah helps them in the end after going through immense hardship, usually, this reminds us and points to the power of Allah. What we extrapolate from those stories is the power of Allah. We come to believe in His power. And we can believe in our own context. It might not be overnight, but if your heart is with Allah, you will come out on top in the end. Even if they take your life. Even if you are in strained circumstances here in this world, you will be in the place that you need to be, accepted by your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this should teach us about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how He wants to give victory to truth. As for if we read about the ahwal, the various states of the mukadhibin, those who deny revelation and then don't believe in Allah or His messengers, ka'adin wa thamud, the people of Ad and the tribes of people of Thamud, وَمَا جَرَىٰ عَلَيْهِمْ, and everything that happened to them, فَلْيَكُنْ فَهْمُ مِنْهُ إِسْتِشْعَرِ الْخَوْفِ. Our meaning, our fahm, when reading stories like this, is that we should feel khawf, fear, in our heart. We should fear the satwa of Allah. We should fear, subhanahu wa ta'ala, His power, when His niqmah and His punishment. وَلْيُكُنْ حَظَّ مِنْهُ اِعْتِبَارِ فِي نَفْسِهِ. Our portion from those stories should be learning lessons in and of our own selves. We don't just read those stories like, oh, see what happened to you. No, no, we learn and read those stories to make sure that doesn't happen to us, that we don't act like that. And this is extremely, extremely important. وَأَنَّهُ إِذَا إِنْ غَفَلَ أَوْ أَسَاءَ أَدَبَ وَاخْتَرَ بِمَا أَمْهَلَ فَرُبَّمَا تُدْرِكُ النِّقْمَةَ وَتَنْفُثُ فِيهِ الْقَضِيَّةَ. Saying that we worry and have, and we're distressed and we're fearful, if we become heedless or we have bad adab and we become deceived by this time that Allah Ta'ala has given us, perhaps that something might go wrong when we end up getting punishment. We end up getting punished and something bad happens. As-salamu alayhi wa sallam. He says, and likewise, if you hear the description of paradise and the fire and everything else that is in the Quran, فَلَا يُمْكِنْ إِسْتِقْصَاءُ مَا يُفْهَمْ مِنْهَا. It's not possible for us to detail everything that is understood from all of those different things. لِنَذَرِكَ لَا نِهَايَةَ لَهُ. Because there's no end to that. وَنَّمَا لِكُلِّ عَبْدٍ مِنْهُمْ بِقَدْرِ رِزْقِهِ. Every human being will understand according to his risk, his sustenance that has been determined for him. And definitely what we understand is from our sustenance. فَلَا رَطْبَ وَلَا يَابِسَ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. That pointing to a verse in the Quran is that there is nothing green or moist. There's nothing moist or dry, nothing green or dry, except that it is in a manifest book. And then Allah says, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادٍ لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي. Say that if the ocean were ink for the words of my Lord, لَلْنَفَدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي. The ocean would be exhausted, would be dried up before the words of my Lord were exhausted. وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا. Even if we came with the likes of it, i.e. another ocean of ink, the same thing would happen. وَلِذَلِكَ قَالَ عَلِيٌّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. For this reason, Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib, who learned tafsir directly from Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْ شِئْتُ لَأَوْقَرْتُ سَبْعِينَ بَعِيرًا مِنْ تَفْسِيرِ الْفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ. Were I to have wanted, I could have written so many volumes of commentary on the Fatiha that it would have taken 70 camels to carry those volumes. So just to put this into perspective, a ba'ir, a camel, can carry roughly 500 kilograms. 500 kilograms. And let's just say a book weighs, for math's sake, to make it easy, 2 kilograms. So let's say that 200, so 2 times 250 equals that 500, so 250 volumes per camel. So then you can do the math, whatever 250 times 70 is. He said, were I to have wanted to, I could have written that many volumes of a commentary of the Fatiha til Kitab. And that's with the Fatiha. فَالْغَرَضُ مِمَّا ذَكَرْنَا التَّنْبِيحَ عَلَى طَرِيكَ التَّفَاهُمْ. The purpose of what we've mentioned in this subsection of this chapter is to indicate how it is that we can have tafahum, i.e. strive to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's books. لِيَنْفَتِحَ بَابُ. So the door of understanding opens. فَأَمَّا الْإِسْتِقْصَى. As for going into painstaking detail, thoroughly, فَمَنَا مَطْمَعَ فِيهِ. There's no way for us to really desire that or to do that. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ فَهْمٌ مَا فِي الْقُرَانِ وَلَوْ فِي أَدْنَى دَرَجَاتِ دَخَلِ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. And someone who doesn't have even the least degree of understanding in Allah's book. And may Allah Ta'ala give us that and give us more. And give us an in-depth, deep understanding of His book. Otherwise, we could enter into the words of Allah Ta'ala. وَمَنْهُمْ مَنْ يَسْتَمِعُوا إِلَيْكَ حَتَّى إِذَا خَرُجُوا مِنْ عِنْدِكَ قَالُوا لِلَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ مَاذَا قَالَ آنِفًا. And from among them are those who listen to you until they leave your presence. And then they say to those who have been given knowledge, what did he just say before? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ. They are the ones that Allah Ta'ala has sealed their hearts. And this tabi', and this seal, these are from the mawani', the various preventatives of understanding that he's going to actually mention in the next subsection. وَقَدْ قِيلَ. And it has been said, لَا يُكُونِ الْمُرِيدُ مُرِيدًا. The aspirant, the one seeking closeness to Allah, is not really considered to be a murid, someone who's truly seeking closeness to Allah. حَتَّى يَجِدَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ كُلَّ مَا يُرِيدُ. Until he finds in the Qur'an everything that it is he is searching for. وَيَعْرِفُ مِنْهُ نُقْسَامٍ مِنَ مَزِيدٍ وَيَسْتَغْنِبِ الْمَوْلَى عَنِ الْعَبِيدِ. And he finds sufficiency and he takes refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all of his servants, and that يَسْتَغْنِبِ الْمَوْلَى. He trusts in him subhanahu wa ta'ala and relies on him and doesn't rely upon his servants. And so the fruit of reflecting deeply on the Quran, contemplating it, striving to understand it, is that where we, you and I, have this very intimate relationship with his book. Every time we read a verse, we realize that it's pointing to a very deep meaning. And that deep meaning relates to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one of the most important subsections of any chapter in this particular work and of everything that we've been discussing thus far. This is one of the most important things of all. Learning to strive to understand the meanings of Allah Ta'ala's book so that our relationship can strengthen in the way that was described. And of course, if we start to understand the meanings behind these verses and they teach us how it is to be before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are definitely going to have our relationship with the Quran strengthened. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and bless us in all of our affairs and open up the doors of understanding for all of us, Ya Arhamar Rahmeen, and the doors of realization, so that we put these meanings into practice in a way that is pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. We will see you all tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.